Happy Easter, brother and sister in Christ, friend, whoever you are, wherever you may be listening from. Jesus is alive. He is not dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Welcome to Special Easter Sunday as we celebrate the gospel of Jesus Christ in the cross and in the resurrection, and that Jesus has indeed triumphed over death. What is it that makes the Christian faith so unique? What is it that separates the God of the Bible from the religions of the world and has stood the test of millennia? It is none other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. This God who would come down, who would die in the sinner's place, who would take our sins and our judgment that we deserved upon himself, die, raise again by his own power, defeat death, and give us eternal life. Again, why? Because we deserve it? No. Purely by his grace. And this indeed is the gospel. That is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that I delivered to you of what was of first importance, that Jesus died according to the scriptures, that he was buried and raised again according to the scriptures. And this summarizes the gospel and captures that which is first and foremost in our faith. I love old books, and my wife found this old 17th century print of Crabbe's English Synonyms. It was first printed in London, and it's a secular book, but listen to their definition of death. Death, it says this: death of itself has always something terrific and terrible in it, but the gospel has divested it of its terrors. The hour of departure, therefore, for a Christian is often the happiest period of his mortal existence. Because of the gospel and what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and because he raised again and he lives forever to make intercession for those whom he saves, death is not something to fear, but has been defanged. It has been divested of its terrors, as this so beautifully says, that we can face death, even this period in our culture of uncertainty, with joy and without fear, knowing that our hope is secure in Christ, that to pass out of this world is to pass into the glories of heaven. Now, the process of dying is something, let's be honest, that we can fear, and it is something that we do struggle with. That is why it is so important to daily be in God's Word, to gather together like we're doing right now, to hear the Word in lovely, beautiful song like we just did, to hear brothers and sisters pray for each other, to encourage one another, and to remind one another of the gospel and that Jesus is not dead, that Jesus is alive, that he is with us, and he will take us and see us home. Now let's turn, if we can, to the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. This is the resurrection account, and I'd like to read through it and see the story, because Jesus died on the cross, if you remember, and it says in John chapter 10, verse 18, let's be reminded that Jesus dying on the cross was something that he made happen. His life was not taken from him. It was part of the providential plan of God for the Son to be crushed, according to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53. And even in the gospel accounts of the crucifixion, like we said on Good Friday, that Jesus did not have his life taken from him. My life can be taken from me. Your life can be taken from you. It says that he yielded his spirit. The word there has the idea of he released it. It was his power. He let go of his own life essence. It was not taken from him. He confirms this in John chapter 10, verse 18, when he says, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." And in Matthew chapter 28, we're going to see Jesus take up his life again and declare once and for all, death is defeated. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1-8. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. When we look at this passage, let's capture the setting first. Jesus has been dead. This is now the third day. Friday the first day, Saturday the second day. This is now the third day on Sunday, or what is here called the first day of the week. The Sanhedrin has put guards in cooperation with the Roman powers around the tomb so that the disciples couldn't fake a resurrection, and they were concerned about the lies, quote-unquote, of Jesus being spread. Now, of course, Jesus' teachings were not lies, but the Sanhedrin and the Jewish powers and the Roman authorities were afraid that he would spawn a rebellion. They were afraid of their own powers being stripped from them. And so they set guards around it to make sure that Jesus, as it were, stayed dead. Now what happens? God sends one of his mighty angels. Perhaps this is one of the archangels, Michael or Gabriel. Perhaps it was one of his most radiant ones, acting as a herald. It was not the angel that raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus said, "I do it of my own power." Paul the Apostle later writes and talks about how Jesus and the Father and the power of the Spirit were, it was the Trinitarian power of God that raised Christ from the dead. So this angel really just comes to act as a herald, as a declarer that Jesus is alive. He comes down with radiant clothing, white as snow. He's like lightning, shining, bearing literally the very glory of heaven. This is an angel perhaps that has just stepped out of the presence of the Father to go and roll back the stone so that the world might know that Jesus is not dead, that Jesus is alive. Now the evil powers, again, want to keep Jesus dead. That's why they posted these guards. Well, what happens? These guards, overwhelmed with the power of this angelic figure, overwhelmed with the manifest glory of God, they fall down as dead men. They're terrified. And if I might say that really there are two reactions to the resurrected Christ, either one of terror or one of joy. If you do not know Jesus Christ and you have not experienced a saving grace, then a living Jesus is something to fear. Because one day the Bible says that he will return. He will make all things right, and he will bring justice upon all those who have not trusted in him. Why? Because all those who have not trusted in Christ are declaring by their actions that they are good enough, that they are righteous enough, and they are outright refusing the provision provided by the Father in the Son. Therefore, if you've not trusted in Christ and you're trusting in your own devices, the Bible says you need to be afraid. You should be terrified because you stand in danger of eternal hellfire. Therefore, who are you trusting in today? Are you trusting in the resurrected Christ? Have you put your faith and trust in him? Because the living Christ is something that should breed terror in our hearts if we do not know him. And yet for those who do know him, look at the passage. The angel directs his gaze towards the women who believe in Christ, who are there at the tomb. They had gone there to anoint his body. And as they arrived, all of these circumstances happen. And the angel tells to the women, as opposed to the guards, who are terrified, he tells the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who is crucified." To you who believe, you don't need to fear. "He is not here," the angel says. "He has risen, as he said. He is alive." Jesus has rolled back death, and of his own power has come alive to rescue and to ransom sinners. Now, I said earlier that you should be terrified if you've not trusted in Christ. But here is the hope, is that Jesus died on the cross to save people like you and like me. He came to save sinners. And his resurrection is a testimony. The fact that he is alive is a testimony that he has the power to save you. Now, what does the resurrection mean? What does it actually accomplish? Because when we think about the living Christ, it is critical to understand that because Jesus is alive, it also means he has the power to come back. But what did it actually accomplish for us? Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 4. Please turn to Romans chapter 4. in verse 24. And we're going to be in Romans 4 and Romans 5 just for the last few moments here of our Easter sermon. Romans chapter 4, Paul is writing about what is the true essence of salvation, that it's not dependent upon works, but it's dependent upon what Christ has done. He says in verse 24, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. He was delivered for our trespasses and raised for our justification. The cross event takes care of our sin. He was delivered over for our sin. It was the cross, his death on the cross, that paid our sin debt, that expiated and made us free of guilt and sin and satisfied God's wrath. It is the cross that pays the debt of sin. But it is the resurrection that says he was raised for our justification. Justification means made righteous, made alive, given the very life and goodness and holiness of Jesus himself. The death paid the debt, or the cross paid the debt, and the empty tomb, the resurrection, is what made you and me righteous. It is what declared that death is defeated. It is the resurrection that God declares to the world that the sacrifice of Christ was sufficient. The resurrection is indispensable to the Christian faith. Again, going back to 1 Corinthians 15, this is why Paul says it's of first importance. The cross takes care of your sin. The resurrection is what guarantees your salvation. It's what guarantees that you stand before God, righteous and holy. Now, when we think about the resurrection, how does it affect me today? Maybe you're thinking, what does that matter? Here I am cooped up in my home under self-quarantine with the world kind of topsy-turvy. What does the resurrection mean for me today? Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 4 ends with the death taking care of our sin and the resurrection guaranteeing our righteousness and position and standing before God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. John Calvin, speaking of the resurrection and the cross, said, by his death, sin was taken away. By his resurrection, righteousness was renewed and restored. In other words, the cross deals with our guilt, and the resurrection gives us the victory. Romans 5 gives us the result or the effects of that victory. And look at three things here. It says, because we've been justified by faith, which justification, result of the resurrection, because of what Jesus has given us, we have peace, verse 1. We have access, verse 2, and then at the end of verse 2, we have hope. Because of the cross, and because this Easter day, and every day since that day when the cross happened and the tomb was emptied, and that Jesus stands alive next to his Father, we have peace with God. No condemnation. We know that we are secure in his presence. In the anxiety of everything going on, we don't need to worry about the things of this world. We know we have peace with God and we can have joy in his presence. Practically, one of the ways that we live out this peace is by constantly reminding ourselves that our position and our security is not in this world, but it is in the cross and in the empty tomb. Not only do we have peace, but we have access. And this is so lovely and so helpful. Because when I struggle with my peace, I know that I have access into the very holy, holy of the temple of heaven, the holy of holies of the temple of heaven, to actually come into God's presence through prayer. That I reign with him spiritually in the heavenlies because of what Romans 5 said, because of what Jesus did for me on the cross and by resurrecting from the dead. So when I struggle with my peace, I can come into his presence and cry out to my Abba, Father. And then it says that we have hope, peace in this world, access into his presence, and hope that what he has begun in us, he will complete. He's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to leave us as orphans. He is going to bring his people home. Now you may say, that all sounds so nice, Pastor. But frankly, the journey is hard. And you know what? It is hard. The challenges and times in which we find ourselves are not easy. So look at how Romans chapter 5 continues. Not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Paul readily acknowledges and says we're going to have sufferings, but that we can rejoice in our sufferings. We can, dare I say, rejoice in COVID-19, rejoice in an economic shutdown, rejoice in a quarantine, rejoice not because people are dying, we recognize the severity of death, and we grieve like Jesus did with Lazarus when death touches lives. But we can rejoice in our sufferings because we know this is just a momentary speck in eternity. We know that our affliction is light comparable to the weight of glory that we will experience in the presence of Christ, because he stands there alive for all of eternity to intercede on our behalf. And so we can have joy in the suffering and know that suffering produces endurance. What is this time, this season of ministry, this season in our history of humanity producing in the saints? It's producing endurance. It produces endurance, develops character. You know, when you want to exercise and build those muscles, you have to work hard, and it's not always comfortable. But we are exercising our spiritual muscles of endurance, learning to trust in Jesus through the hard times. And that develops within us spiritual godliness and character and reliance that allows us to be able to revel in the hope. And if we ever doubt God's love, notice this, it says, God's love has been poured out to us. And the way that we experience that is by the ongoing presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, he said, I'm going to my Father so that I can send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to be raised again. I'm going to sit at the right hand of my Father. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, who's going to be the presence of my love, the tangible love of God shed abroad in our hearts to empower us, walk with us through these sufferings. The cross took care of our guilt. The resurrection made us righteous. And because we stand righteous and because Jesus is alive, we have peace, we have hope, we have access to God. And even as we walk the sufferings of this life, he has not left us alone. He's given us the Holy Spirit, the very presence, the promise of God's love, the presence of God's love, even right here with me and with you. Why does the resurrection matter? Why does Easter matter? Our entire faith, brother and sister, hangs on the cross and the resurrection. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I've delivered of what is first of, what is of utmost importance, that Jesus died, that he laid his life down willingly, and then he took it up again in power, came out of the empty tomb, roaring like a lion, as a promise and a declaration that all who believe in him would not taste death, but that death is forever, forever defanged, and that we can stand secure in his presence. Isn't that good news, brother and sister? Can I get an amen wherever you're at? It's good news. So as we go about this Easter day, revel in that good news. And friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, please reach out to us. Go go to watchhbclynchburg.com. There's a button for where we can get prayer requests. And please fill out your information. Let us know how we can pray for you. Maybe you have questions about salvation. Let us know so a pastor can reach out and talk with you and show you from God's word how you might be saved. Salvation is not difficult. It is believing that we are sinners and trusting in Jesus Christ as our only Savior, believing that He rose again to give us life. My friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us remember this truth. Go about today in joy, hope, peace, even through our sufferings, knowing that Jesus right now is interceding at the right hand of God for all those who've trusted in Him. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your love. And I pray that you will be with my brothers and sisters in Christ today. Fill them with a joy of who you are. And I pray that old and young alike, we would revel in your presence. For my friends out there who maybe have not trusted in you, would you please impress on their heart the need that they need a Savior? We ask your blessing upon this day. And in Jesus' name we pray.